Good morning and welcome to this Thursday morning edition of Mornings for the Master. It is February the 11th, 2016, and I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. My name is Chris McElyea, your regular Thursday host, and I'm excited about today's program. Yesterday, Brother Horton and Brother Rutledge finished the discussion that began at the 1st of January over the book of Matthew as we continue our journey through the Bible in 2016. We're covering a chapter each weekday. And if all goes as hoped for, then on the last weekday of 2016, we will complete the book of Revelation, having covered from Matthew to Revelation through Revelation. Today we begin the study of the book of Mark. So if you've not been with us regularly thus far this year, today is a great time to make the commitment to start to join us and make this your daily Bible reading, and then this period your time also a period of study together in God's Word. So today our chapter for consideration will be Mark chapter 1. And then tomorrow, Brother Chris Grota and Brother J.J. Hendricks will be looking at the second chapter of Mark as we march through the New Testament in 2016. But before we begin, we want to note some brotherhood events that are going on this morning. And one of those is going to begin on February the 19th and run through the 21st. And that is the Shenandoah Lectures at the Shenandoah Church of Christ in San Antonio, Texas. That will begin on the 19th. Contact the Shenandoah congregation for more information. The Atlanta Church of Christ in Atlanta, Texas has a number of events coming up. It is going to be a big weekend. This is going to begin on the 19th, and on February 19th and 20th will be a men's retreat. The ladies will have their Ladies' Day on the 20th there in Atlanta. The Atlanta congregation is located at 512 East Pine Street there in Atlanta. The Ladies' Day speaker will be Sister Holly McCormick. Her husband John is the gospel preacher for the Atlanta congregation. And then beginning on Sunday the 21st and running through the 24th will be Atlanta's annual gospel meeting. The speaker is going to be Brother Richard Rutledge from Mount Vernon, Texas, and the Gospel Radio Network. For more information concerning this event, call 903-796-3371. As you know, here in Mount Vernon, we recently, this past Saturday, held the third annual Make Me a Servant workshop, and Sister McCormick, who will be speaking on their Ladies' Day, was one of our speakers here, and the ladies just raved about the great job she did, so you'll want to hear that. And as always, we're quite prejudiced toward our brother Richard as being one of the best around, and he will do a great job at that gospel meeting on the topic of lessons I've learned along the way. So that is going to be a great event coming up in Atlanta, Texas. Ladies, also mark your calendar for February 27th. There is something for you going on every week, it looks like. And on the 27th, it is going to be the Ladies' Day at the West Hill Church of Christ in Corsicana, Texas. The theme this year is Growing Up in Christ, and the speaker is Christy Woodall. For more information, contact the West Hill congregation at 903-872-5686. 903-872-5686. There is a huge event coming up March 27th through the 31st, and that is the 50th annual Memphis Lectures. The 50th annual lectureship held at the Memphis School of Preaching in the Forest Hill Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee. And aptly, this year's theme is Preach the Word. It is going to be filled with great speakers for each day, great topics. Make plans to attend that, if at all possible. This will be a historic event, the 50th annual Memphis Lectures. Ladies, you have another opportunity coming up April the 2nd. And that is a Ladies' Day at the Colleyville Church of Christ in Colleyville, Texas. The theme is Recipe for Peace, the Book of Philippians. The speaker for the ladies is going to be Sister Evelyn Bonner. And for the teenage girls, it's going to be Sister Callie Puckett. There are going to be classes for the women, for the younger girls. And that's coming up at the Colleyville Church of Christ. For more information about this outstanding event, call 817-281-1681. That is 817-281-1681. March 19th, ladies, you have another opportunity. That is a Ladies' Day at the Angelina Church of Christ in Lufkin, Texas. A Ladies' Day. You're asked to RSVP by March 9th, if possible. And the topic there is stirring up one another for love and good works. Also, there is coming up a gospel meeting February 28th through March 2nd, a gospel meeting at the Broken Bow Church of Christ in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, located in the southeast corner of Oklahoma. And the speaker is going to be Brother Wayne Jones from the University Church of Christ in San Marcos, Texas. For more information, you can contact the Broken Bow Church of Christ, their gospel preacher, as Brother Anthony Warnes. And make plans to attend that, and we'll have more information on that as we get closer. February 28th through March the 2nd. Coming up also, March 4th through the 6th, is the 23rd annual Shreveport Bossier Lectureship. Oh, to be like him. It is going to be hosted by the Blanchard Church of Christ and held at the Carriage Oaks Church of Christ there in Bossier City. Listen to this schedule. Begins Friday at 7 p.m. with Brother John Binkley speaking on Oh to Be Like Him in Love. At 8 o'clock, Brother Morn Stephanus, Oh to Be Like Him in Sacrifice. Saturday, there's going to be singing at 9:30. And then at 10 o'clock, Oh to Be Like Him in Prayer, Brother Stephanus. At 11 a.m., Oh to Be Like Him in His Commitment to His Family, Brother James Eaves. There will be a lunch at noon, and at 1 p.m., there will be an open forum where various questions will be answered. At 1:30, Oh to Be Like Him in Soul Winning with Brother Binkley. And then at 2:30, Oh to Be Like Him in Perseverance, Brother Scott Kane. On Sunday at the AM worship, each speaker speaks at his sponsoring congregation. And then that evening, at each congregation, there will be a local preacher exchange for opportunity to hear a visiting preacher there. It's going to be a great event. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. This is going to be held at the Carriage Oaks Church of Christ, located at 5661 Shed Road in Bossier City, Louisiana, 71111. The Shreveport Bossier Lectureship is a joint effort between four area congregations, the Blanchard Church of Christ in Blanchard, the Carriage Oaks Church of Christ in Bossier City, the Huntington Park Church of Christ, and the Sunset Church of Christ in Shreveport. The lunch Saturday will be provided free of charge to all. For as far as location, if you're coming from the east on Interstate 220 in Bossier City, take exit 15 Shed Road turn left, and the building is 0.2 miles on the left. If you're coming from the west in Bossier City on Interstate 220, take exit 15 and turn right, and the building will be less than half a mile on the right. That is the upcoming 23rd annual Shreveport Bossier Lecture. Be making plans to attend this great event. Okay, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I hope you have your Bible ready if you're not driving this morning. And turn to Mark chapter 1. We're going to consider and look at this chapter from the aspect of the authority of Jesus Christ. Brother Rutledge had noted yesterday that Mark is a book of action, and that it certainly is. It is a book filled with action. It is unique and unlike Matthew and Luke. It does not talk about the birth of Christ, but begins with the work of John. And so it skips right straight to adulthood, and it comes out. And more about Jesus should be our desire, to know more of Him. And so we're going to do that in just a few minutes. But first, let's play these two wonderful hymns, and then we'll be back.
Thank you.
Welcome back here to Mornings for the Master. And we are so glad you're with us, and I hope you turn to Mark chapter 1. Now, as we begin this account, we want to consider that most historians believe that Mark is probably the oldest of the four gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And secular history says that it was written in Rome. The pen was that of John Mark. And it contains much of the reflections of Peter. One of the interesting parts of this gospel is that nearly half of the book centers around the crucifixion and the resurrection, and also the fact that it doesn't have any of the birth narratives, and it begins with the preaching of John. And so this morning, as we consider these things, I want us to begin in Matthew chapter 28. And in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Jesus said that all authority had been given to him in heaven and earth. And we're going to notice that this morning, as we are going to consider the authority of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the authority of Jesus Christ being announced, acknowledged, and acclaimed here in chapter 1. And so we see the authority of Christ is announced. First, we see it announced by Mark himself, the inspired writer. Notice verse 1, "In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." It is Mark here who announces that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so, the authority of Christ, who he is, announced by Mark. And then we see Jesus and his authority is announced by John the Baptizer. John the Baptist, here now as we continue in verse 2, we see written about John. Reference here as Mark refers back to the Old Testament prophets. "As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached, saying, There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now, let's consider for just a minute the role of John the Baptist.
Jesus, my Savior,
prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. John was going to come in the spirit of Elijah. John would prepare the way for something drastically different. He would come after those 400 years of silence, all the way back to the days of Malachi. And so John's work was to prepare the way. Notice again in verse 2, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John was referred to as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. His work was to prepare the way for the Lord and to make his path straight. What was the message that John would bring? Verse 4 says, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John came forth preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. John baptized for the remission of sin, but he did not baptize in the name of Jesus. Notice some things about John the man. Verse 6. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. John was not a materialistic individual. He didn't wear the finest clothes. He didn't try to keep up with the Joneses. And his diet was something most of us would consider less than something to be desired for. But that was not a concern of John. John was announcing the fact that Jesus is coming. Notice verse 7. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John was an humble and faithful servant. In fact, Jesus paid John perhaps the greatest tribute ever given to a mere man, when Jesus said that among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John. It is sad that John would not be able to live long enough to see the kingdom that he preached about and to see its arrival. For John would live his entire life on the other side of the cross and would never be able to see in this life that beautiful church of which he preached. And so we have seen that Jesus is announced by John Mark. He is announced by John the Baptist. And now we see the authority of Jesus Christ is announced by the Christ himself. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Jesus makes his public appearance. The one without sin, submitting to baptism to fulfill all righteousness. John did not understand it, for he said, I have need to be baptized by you. But Jesus instructed John to permit it or to suffer it for the time to fulfill all righteousness. And so, the authority of Jesus announced by John Mark, John the Baptist, Jesus himself, and now we see the fact that the authority of Jesus is announced by God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, and immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice from heaven, then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The heavens opened. The Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus like a dove. The Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus also. We see now the Holy Spirit acknowledges the authority of Jesus Christ. And the Father, the voice from heaven, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father declares Jesus. What an incredible moment in time to see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in one place and in one accord. Yes, the authority of Jesus Christ is truly announced. And now, considered the announcement of the authority of Jesus Christ, and now we're going to consider the acknowledgement, Jesus' authority being acknowledged by various ones. And verse 12, it says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. And so the fact, as you recall from Matthew's account, that Jesus overcame these temptations in his weakened physical state, he used Scripture to defeat Satan, and that he did. Satan's great attempt at ensnaring and trapping Christ to cause him to fall would fail. And that is because Jesus has authority and power even over Satan. And so these events acknowledge, point out the fact that Jesus has all authority. So not only in the temptation events do we see Jesus' authority acknowledged, but it is also acknowledged by the message of Christ. Of course, the message of Jesus was the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom, the good news. In verse 14, now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." You see, John preached the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven was at hand. The apostles would preach the kingdom of heaven was at hand, the 70. They were all saying that it was near. And we know of a surety that it was. And that would be fulfilled in the second chapter of Acts. Jesus' message was an acknowledgement that he was truly the Son of God and the kingdom was at hand. We see also this same fact acknowledged by those who would be his apostles. Let's consider Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. Verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. They encountered Jesus. They saw the authority of Jesus. And they acknowledged the authority of Jesus by leaving their livelihoods, leaving their fishing business, and following Christ. Next, we see James and John in a similar encounter, beginning in verse 19. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. James and John encountered Jesus. He called them, and they followed him. They acknowledged his authority by also leaving their fishing business and following Jesus. So we've seen Jesus' authority acknowledged by 1, the events of the temptation, 2, the message of Jesus himself, the gospel of the kingdom. Thirdly, by his future apostles, first Simon and Peter and Andrew, and then James and John, the brothers. And next, we see the authority of Jesus is going to be acknowledged by the people. In verse 21, we find Jesus now teaching in the synagogue. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And now let's notice the acknowledgement of the people concerning the authority of Jesus Christ. Notice the response in verse 22. And they were astonished at his teaching, For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. You see, the scribes quoted authorities. They quoted the Old Testament prophets. Yet Jesus was speaking in the here in the synagogue, not quoting authority, but speaking as one having authority. But he did have this authority. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says, "And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Jesus Christ is the head over his church. The church is his body, and he is the fullness of that body. This is pointed out in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." You see, Jesus was the first raised from the dead to live forevermore. Yes, there were instances before of individuals being raised from the dead, such as the child of Jairus, but these would all have to again face death. Jesus, rising from the dead to live for eternity. In John chapter 25, verse 28 and 29, we read, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." And so we see the authority of Jesus Christ acknowledged by the people. We see here also now a special incident, and we see that Jesus' authority is acknowledged by man with an unclean spirit. Notice the acknowledgement of the man concerning Jesus in verse 23. "Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" Listen to that again. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This man was controlled by a demon. This demon cried out to leave us alone. "What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And notice the response of Jesus. Here we also see one of the first accounts of the compassion and the mercy of Christ toward the man. "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet, and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him." And so we see in the people here now, the amazement of these people, their amazement at the realization of the authority is seen in their acknowledgement of Jesus Christ. Verse 27. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. And so we have seen the authority of Jesus Christ announced. We've seen the authority of Jesus Christ acknowledged. And in just a moment, we're going to see the authority of Jesus Christ being acclaimed. We're going to play Christ for the World We Sing, because we certainly acclaim Jesus Christ today. Christ for the World We Sing, and then we'll be back.
Christ for
back. We are in Mark chapter 1. We're now at verse 29 as we see the acclamation of the authority of Christ. And one of the ways that that occurs is through healing. We're going to see it in the healing of Peter's mother-in-law and the sick and the demon-possessed. First, we see Peter's mother-in-law beginning in verse 29. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick, and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak, because they knew him. And so we see Peter's mother-in-law healed, the sick and demon-possessed healed. And of course, they would all acclaim the authority of Christ when they witnessed these miraculous events. It is a claim also through preaching. This is one of the ways we do today. And it is sad that how many people today only see Jesus as the healer and not the Savior of the world. To many people today, they see Jesus as simply a good luck charm that they wear around their neck, rather than the Almighty with all authority, the Savior of the world. Verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, Everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and casting out demons. And so we see his authority acclaimed through his preaching, and by those who preach in his name throughout the land. We see also his authority being acclaimed by his compassion. Let us notice his compassion upon the leper. Verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, If you are willing, you can make me clean. Now notice the leper here. He did not ask Jesus if he had the ability. Notice the only barrier to his healing was whether Jesus would be willing or not. He said, If you are willing, you can make me clean. He knew that Jesus could. Verse 41. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once, and said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now Jesus instructed this man not to tell anyone, only to go show the priest, which was according to the law of Moses. But in spite of Jesus' instruction, and Jesus had good reason to give him this instruction, for if word got out too quickly, it would be too hard for Jesus to be able to move about with much freedom without great crowds on top of him, to be able to go and to preach and to teach and to heal and various other compassionate acts. But we find, though, that his authority is acclaimed by those and others he would heal. We see that contrary to Jesus' instruction, verse 45 says, However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter. And we see the results of his failing to follow Jesus' instruction, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. And so, from this point forward, Jesus, of course, would be fighting crowds everywhere he went. But I guess we might ask the question ourselves, is do we show compassion like Jesus? Do we have compassion for others? When opportunity comes upon you to do good to others, do you? Paul told those in Galatia, Therefore, as we have opportunity to do good, let us do so unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Are we compassionate like Jesus? Now, we need to remember, as we see the first of his miraculous events here in chapter 1, that there was a purpose to these miracles, these healings, for they were being used to confirm that Jesus was truly the Son of God, and to confirm his message was that of God. And so, in this amazing first chapter of Mark, We have seen Jesus Christ. We have seen the authority of Jesus Christ being announced, acknowledged, and acclaimed. And so as we go through the rest of this book, and tomorrow Brother Groda and Brother Hendricks will be looking at the second chapter, we're going to be looking at Jesus continuing to forgive and to heal and to call others to his service. What an amazing book, the book of Mark. I hope that you'll make plans to tune in every day. Remember, if you're not able to tune in at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, you can hear the replay at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 12 hours later. Or if you are not able to catch either one on a given day, you can go to the on-demand section about 24 hours or so later, and you can pick up previous episodes or programs that have been archived in the on-demand section here on the Gospel Radio Network. I've certainly enjoyed this time this morning. You have encouraged me by being here and tuning in. I hope this program has encouraged you. And so, if the Lord wills, turn in again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. We're going to leave with that thought of you know, Christ is coming again. He's coming again with all his authority. Let us close this morning with Come Thou Almighty King.
Come Thou Almighty King.